touch of the Force. She dropped them into Dom's upturned eyes. He blinked and cried out, but could not move. His eyes watered, and then he squeezed them closed. But by then it was too late.
"I'll wait outside," Lannery heard Tree say,
and he sounded like a child afraid of the dark. But her eyes were closed, and she did not see him leave.
"Keep calm. Keep quiet," she whispered, with a slight Force push,
and Dom grew motionless beneath her. She delved down, vision growing dark, the sense of touch intense and shocking as the dust particles forged through his eyes and back into his brain. She felt the warm wetness of his insides. She sought. The dust sought. And when she found the places she wanted, she paused, gathering strength and molding the Force to her will. This was the dangerous part. She felt Bogan looming and darkness closing. And balance drifted. Power grew around her, and she breathed deeply, trying to ward off the ecstatic sensations flooding through her. The pleasure of control. The ecstasy of darkness. The dust transformed into elements of her will, and Dom started to choke as her will was done.
"Keep calm," Lannery thought,
and this time she was speaking to herself. Bogan grew large and heavy, and she felt the irresistible lure of shadow, freedom from constraint, reveling in power. And she fought her way back to balance, the denial of Bogan difficult but ultimately triumphant. The sense of loss was staggering for a time, but it quickly faded. This was her talent, Dan Powell had told her. The alchemy of flesh, however minute that element of flesh might be. Transformation. Transition. And Lannery tried to hold down the sense of pride at her achievement. She had not touched the experiment on her ship since the start of this mission, but she had not lost anything that she had learned. She stood from Dom and went to the door that Tree had left open behind him. "It's done," she said, and Tree's voice answered from the corridor beyond.
"You had the face of Dan Powell. Her darkness."
"And her control," Lannery said. "Of course. Dan Powell must have performed something similar on Tree." But Lannery didn't mind frightening him. Tree afraid might serve her well.
"Is he..."
"I seared his memory. For a time, he'll remember nothing, not even his name." Dom writhed on the floor and struggled to stand.
"For a time?"
Tree asked. "I'm not sure how long." And she was not. It could be mere days, or perhaps much longer, until Dom returned to the damaged person he had been. A dark shadow in his mind where the memory of what had happened was a charred emptiness. Better than murder.
"If you say so."
Tree was standing in the corridor, back against the wall. "Now tell me you know where District 6's market is," she said. Tree nodded. There was no easy smile this time. Chapter 11. Slaves.
"There are depths."
Usamael Orr, circa 1000 TYA. Though your arrival. Part of a journeyer's pilgrimage is to learn how to survive in the wild. And now, they are hunting. Lannery stalks through the forest of giant fungi, breathing through her mouth so that the meaty scent of the huge mushrooms does not throw her senses. Her footfalls are completely silent. She can sense the areas of dried fungus skin that might crackle when she steps, or those places where a hollow in the ground is covered with moss. Her breathing is light and slow, and her mind is connected with their quarry, a small mammal. She can feel its rapid heartbeat and breathing, and if she really concentrates, she can see through its eyes. Its perception is so much different from hers. Everything it sees is shaded by the Force. It used to trouble her that so much wildlife on Tython was so in tune with the tides of the Force.
but she has grown to learn that theirs is a passive relationship. It is only Jedi who can harness the Force and use it to perform great deeds. Her movements urge the mammal onward, down into the shallow ravine, past the growth of pink mushrooms that blankets one wall, and then she sees a flurry of movement ahead. A whistle in the distance, and then Lannery runs between the milky white stems. She revels in the silent movement, the breeze riffling her loosened hair, sweat lifted from her brow. When she arrives at the edge of the ravine and looks down, Dale is holding up the creature pierced on a spear he fashioned himself. She smiles. "We make a good team," she thinks. But then that familiar pang of guilt stabs in once again. They are 6 days out from Stav Kesh, and every moment that passes, Lannery knows she is lying to herself. Dale will never accept the Force, nor adjust to its ebb and flow. Silently, he skins, guts, and butchers the creature, builds a fire, and starts cooking the meat. Everything he does is methodical and skilled. He's learning so much. Lannery remembers overhearing their father talking to their mother once. "He's like a sponge," their father said. "Every question of his I answer inspires two more. His thirst for knowledge is insatiable. He's going to be a great Jedi one day." It saddens her how her parents could have been so wrong. Dale's skills hide a deeper void within him, a dark void, where all around expect the Force to dwell. And at last, as he starts serving the meat with a soft, sweet root vegetable they gathered earlier, she asks the question that has been burning at her. "Are you sad?" He gives her a plate. The food smells wonderful. Dale's expression does not shift. He knows exactly what she means. "Eat your dinner," he says. "We've a long way to go yet."
"Are you sad?" she asks again. "The way you were at Stav Kesh, like a child, jealous of those around him with better toys."
Dale raises an eyebrow and then laughs out loud.
"Is that what you think?" he asks.
"Well,
you really think I'm jealous of you? Of mother and father and those others we trained with back there? Jealous that none of you are your own masters?"
"Of course we are."
"No!"
He places his plate down and stands, not angry but frustrated.
"No, not at all. You're slaves to the Force. You might think it serves you, but you serve it. You never have your own thoughts because the Force is always on your mind. You never fight your own fights because the Force fights for you."
"It's not like that, Dale.